In this week's parasha, we are introduced on some level. I don't want to use the word introduced fully because we've heard about this topic a lot in the second half of Sefer Shmot. But certainly in Sefer Vayikra, we are introduced very strongly to the mitzvot associated with Kohanim, Kohen Hedyot, Kohen Gadol. And I'd like to ask six questions about Kohanim, six questions about the Kahuna, and this is I think it's a message that's appropriate for you and for me, whether or not we are children of Kohanim. I am not the child of a Kohen, but I still think that the message is a very, very appropriate one for all of us. Parashat Emor begins, if you have a Chumash in front of you, you can open up to Perek Chaf Aleph, beginning with Pasuk Tet Zayin. In the beginning of the parasha, there's a sheet. You should have a sheet. Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't. One sheet, two sides. In the beginning of the parasha, we hear about the halachot of Kohanim and how they have to stay tahor and who they have to marry. And in the beginning of the second aliyah, we have in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Daber el Aharon lemor ish mizaracha ledorotam asher yihyevo mum lo yikrav lehakriv lechem elokav. A person, a Kohen, who has a mum, some kind of physical deformity, may not serve in the Beit HaMikdash. If he does, the korban is pasul. And the psukim continue in Yud Chet and Yud Tet and Chaf Aleph to list in very graphic biological and anatomical detail of the kind of mumin that would make somebody pasul. And question number one is one word: why? Why must a Kohen with a mum be pasul? All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about what I look like? I thought we talked about Al Tistakel BaKankan Ela B'Mashiyesh Bo. A Kohen is a Kohen. A Kohen is a person. Kohen is a human. Why do we care about externalities? Question number two comes from the Rambam, of course, based on Psukim. It's the first source at the top of your page. The Rambam in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ha'Ovdim Bo Perek Chet in Halacha Dalid. This is the Rambam Rav Moshe Ben Maimon, who died in 1204. The Rambam tells us, and again, we are a little bit pressed for time, so I don't know if I'm going to read everything inside, but really quickly I'll read Halacha Dalid. Bigdei Kehuna Mitzvatan Shehiyu Chadashim Na'im Umeshulashim Kederech Bigdei HaGedolim. A Kohen's clothing have to look nice, they have to fit properly, they have to go down. And the reason for that is Shene'emar L'chavod U'letifaret. When in Sefer Shemot, when the Torah tells us to make the Bigdei Kehuna in Parashat Tetzaveh, tells, nice to see you. And there's a source sheet there if you want, right by you, Elisha, if you want. When the Torah tells us in Parashat Tetzaveh that a Kohen has to make the Bigdei Kehuna, the Rambam tells us that their clothing has to fit nicely. And if I skip a little bit in the Rambam, and if I say, I don't skip. At the end of the first line, when the Rambam says, Hayu metushtashin, o mekura'in, o arukin yeter al midato, o ktsarim pachot mimidato, etc., etc., if the clothing don't fit nicely, or if they're, and I didn't continue reading, but if they get soiled, if they get torn, then a Kohen who wears clothing like that, their avoda is psula. If you brought a korban to the Beit HaMikdash and a Kohen was not dressed properly. I always thought properly meant he didn't have one of the begadim. No, he has all the begadim, but it's too long, or it's too short, or it's too messy. It's soiled. By the way, it could be soiled with blood. He's in karbanot all day long. The Rambam tells us avoda psula, and that is question number two. The same question we asked with regard to mumim, we're going to ask with begadim. Why? Why is that so? Kadosh Baruch Hu all of a sudden cares about my clothes. So he has a little bit longer pants. He has a little bit of a shorter belt. He has a stain on it. He was eating lunch and you're going to tell him to go change? Why do I care about that? That's question number two. Question number three comes from the next halacha. Question number three comes from the next halacha in the Rambam. Hilchot Klei HaMikdash VeHaOvdim Bo Perek Chet Halacha Zayin. Kol Bigdei HaKohanim Einan Ba'im Ela Mishel Tzibur. The clothing that a Kohen wears cannot come from his personal funds. And the Rambam continues that if you want to donate clothing, if you want to donate, what you have to do is donate money to the Beit HaMikdash. The Mikdash then converts the money and buys the materials necessary to build to make clothing for you. But you're not allowed to have your own clothing. You can't bring your clothing from home. I don't care if it fits perfectly, if it's sewn perfectly, exactly the way it looks identical to the begadim that the Kohanim use, you must leave it at home. And you have to get from the tzibur. And the question is, again, why? Question three is why? Why is that the halacha? Why can't a Kohen own his own clothing or buy his own clothing? Question number one, we said, is mumin. Why can't, at the beginning of our parsha, why can't a Kohen have a mum? Who cares? Question number two, why can't a Kohen have clothing that don't fit or a little torn, a little dirty? Question number three, why can't he own his own clothing? Question number four comes from the next halacha. Says the Rambam, Asur lekohen hedyot lilovsho ela bishat avoda. Ein hakohanim lovshin la'avoda ela tzemer ufishtin bilvad. The Rambam says, and this is based on the Mishnah in Maseches Tamid, the Rambam is based on the Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us that in the morning every Kohen comes, and there's a lot of lotteries that Kohanim go through, I won't go through it now, various lotteries for various avodot, all the way from the Trumat HaDeshen, all the way to the end of the Korban Tamid, and says the Mishnah, and the Rambam quotes, that if a Kohen doesn't have any jobs that day, he's got to go back into the Lishka, into the office. It's called the Lishkat Pinchas HaMalbish. He has to get undressed and he has to wear regular clothing if he's needed. He gets back into his regular clothing, but he cannot wear clothing unless he is doing the avoda. It happens to be, I quoted the Ravid, Rav Avraham ben David, who died in 1198 in Provence. Rav Avraham ben David, the Ravid, disagrees. We're going to focus on the Rambam right now. Question, that's our question. Question number four. Why can't a Kohen wear begadim when he's not doing the avoda? Why can't a Kohen wear begadim when he's not doing the avoda? Question number five. Going too fast? Gevaldik. Question number five. You need a 20-second introduction. Too bad I'm teaching because I don't usually give 20-second introductions. But I'll do my best. People who learn the Rambam learn the words with a fine-tooth comb. And people who learn the Rambam don't only learn the Rambam with a fine-tooth comb, but they learn the Rambam's categories of halacha, his titles of his halachot, why he put a halacha here instead of there. And so question number five and question number six, you have to be practiced in learning Rambam. Question number five is this. We know that the Rambam wrote many Svarim. One of the Svarim he wrote is called the Yad HaChazaka Yudalid, the 14 Sifrei Halacha of the Rambam. And you know that those Svarim break down literally an encyclopedia of Halacha, the first in history. And the eighth Sefer, of the Rambam is called Sefer HaAvoda. And it's the eighth out of 14. In though in the Sefer HaAvoda, the Rambam lists all the halachot of the Avoda that you and I are going to see in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.
Amen.
And the Rambam lists all the halachot. What is the Beit HaMikdash going to look like? And what are the kelim going to look like? And in these halachot, he also has a halacha that I quoted. You look at the top of your page. That's one of the halachot called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ovdim Bo. And it's the second set of halachot in his Sefer Avoda. It's a very strange title. It's called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ovdim Bo. It's the halachot that deal with the Klei HaMikdash. What does the machta look like? What does the mizbeach look like? What does the inside mizbeach look like? What does the menorah look like? But it's also not just Hilchot Klei HaMikdash. It's also Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ovdim Bo. Let's go through the halachot really fast. The first two prakim out of 10 deal with the kelim. How to build them, what happens if one gets lost, gets broken. The third perek deals with Levi'im. The fourth and fifth halachot, in other words, the fourth and fifth chapters, the fourth and fifth prakim in the Rambam, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ovdim Bo, the fourth and fifth deal with the halachot of the Kohen Gadol. The sixth perek deals with Yisraelim. I'm a Yisrael, I also have a job in the Mikdash. That's in the sixth perek. The seventh perek deals with the 15 specific people who have specific jobs. They're called Mimunin. I mentioned before Pinchas Hamalbish. That's a Mimune, a person in charge of the wardrobe of the Kohanim. And Hilchot Prakim, Chet, Tet, and Yud, 8, 9, 10, are about the Begadim. Everyone with me? So basically we have 8 out of 10 Prakim dealing with the people who work in the Mikdash. It's a very strange set of halachot to call them Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ovdim Bo. 80% of the Prakim deal with the people. Why don't you have a separate set of halachot called Hilchot Kohanim? Have another set of halachot, Hilchot Levim. How about have another set of halachot called Hilchot HaOvdim BaMikdash? That's not what the Rambam has. The Rambam puts them together. You may not feel like this is a challenging question, but if the Rambam, if we're looking at it with a fine-tooth comb, and we want to know how we categorize halacha, these halachot seem to be a hodgepodge. If you and I were writing the halacha, we wouldn't write it that way. Especially if 80% of the halachot deal with people. Everyone follow? So question number 5 is, why did the Rambam choose to put the halachot of Kohanim and Levi'im and Yisraelim and Mamunim and the Begadim all in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Ve'Ovdim Bo? That's question number 5. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
Question number 6, to me, is the simplest and yet the most challenging to answer. You go to a shul, I saw this with my own eyes, the son of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, used to live in our community. And whenever there was a simcha, and also once or twice a year, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein would daven in our shul. Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, gadol, gadol, gadol batorah. And he always got an aliyah whenever he davened there. Which aliyah do you think he got? Shlishi. Good guess. Who got Rishon?
Kohen.
A 14-year-old Kohen. A 17-year-old Kohen. A 47-year-old Kohen. But not Rav Moshe, not Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Who got the second aliyah? A 14-year-old Levi. A 17-year-old Levi. A 47-year-old Levi. Not Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. You walk into a shul, and I don't know, the Vilna Gaon is davening with you. So first of all, you have a lot of questions. How it's a major, that's a major minion right there. He's also not going to get the first aliyah. A 13-year-old boy whose bar mitzvah was yesterday gets an aliyah before Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, before the Vilna Gaon, before Rabbi Akiva Eger, not before Rav Cook. Why not before Rav Kook? Rav Kook was a Kohen. Okay, so that's Rav Kook probably got Rishon. But you go into a shul with Rav Yoshe Beres Soloveitchik. He did not get Rishon. He got, yeah, Shane, he was a Levi. Okay, but he didn't get Rishon. A 13 and a half year old Kohen. And please forgive me, and if anybody here has a 13 and a half year old brother who's a Kohen, please forgive me. He's done nothing compared to what these giants of Torah got. And yet, your brother, 13 and a half year old, gets that Aliyah. Maybe Rav Yoshe Ber gets Levi. Maybe, why is that? Why? And not only that. Not only that. So it happens to be on Shabbos yesterday. Rav Noam is a Kohen. So it's easy to give, that's what you're supposed to do. It comes from our Parsha. You have to give him, to ask him to bench. But I told you that we adopted a Chayel Boded in our home for many years. He was a Kohen. Whenever we had guests, I always asked him privately, is it okay if I gave somebody else the permission to lead benching? If my father was there, my father-in-law, I would turn to the boy, his name was Isaac, I would say, Isaac, is it okay if my father benches? The answer was always yes, but I had to ask him. He's a lovely boy, but why do I have to ask him? I hope he doesn't hear me say this, but who is he compared to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein? I can say the same thing about myself, that's why I don't feel so bad saying that. Why do we have to ask? What is this? Why do I have to give them? I understand, kavod, but come on, when we have Rav Lichtenstein in the room, why? Why do we have to give them first? Give them, we can't ask them to do work. We can't ask them to do work. There's a shaila, this is a shaila that can only be asked in the 20th century in the modern state of Israel. If I am a sergeant in the army, am I allowed to boss around my soldier who's a Kohen? You're not allowed to boss a Kohen around. I can tell my Kohen, hey, you grab my bags. I don't do that to a Kohen. It's a good shaila. We won't go into the answer. You can talk to me afterwards. But the fact that we even ask the question is a question. Why? Everyone with me? We asked six questions. We asked, why is a Kohen with a mum puzzle for the avoda? Who cares? Why should God care? We asked question number two, why do we care so much that the begadim fit properly? Why does God all of a sudden care about what I wear? Question number three, why can't the Kohen buy his own clothing or bring his own clothing or make his own clothing? Question number four, according to the Rambam, not the Ravid, but the Rambam, why can't the Kohen wear his begadim when it's not his turn for the avoda? Question number five, why would the Rambam not have a separate set of halachot called Hilchot Kohanim? Or just Hilchot Klei HaMikdash? Why would the Rambam, excuse the expression, lump them together, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'Ha'ovdim Bo? And question number six, where else in the entire Torah, this is question number six, do we see religious status based on heredity? Where do we see, just because his father's a Kohen, the only thing that 13 and a half year old boy did in his life was be born, and he gets an aliyah before Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, or whoever the name is, name the name of a great gadol, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He gets an aliyah before Rav Moshe Feinstein. He gets to lead benching before the Chazon Ish. Was the Chazon Ish a Kohen? I don't know. If the Chazon Ish weren't a Kohen, I don't remember. I don't know if he was. Why does he get to bench before the stipler? Doesn't seem to make sense. If my father is a Talmud Chacham, so all of a sudden I'm a Talmud Chacham. Then it never works anywhere in the Torah. And all of a sudden here it works. How come? Okay. We are going to try to run through a general answer. I'd like to suggest the following answer. In Parshat Naso, I'm going to read through it quickly. It's the next source down on the first page. Says the Torah, we all know these words, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Daber el Aharon vel banav lemor, Ko tevarchu et b'nei Yisrael, Amor lahem, Yivarechacha Hashem yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem yisa Hashem, Pasuk of Zayin, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, Va'ani avarchem. And you'll take a look when you're able to, look at Rashi or Shlomo Yitzchaki, who gives us an answer of what does V'ani Avarchem mean? Either I shall bless B'nai Yisrael, or maybe I'll bless the Kohanim. You'll take a look at that inside. You'll take a look at the Rashbam, Rav Shmuel ben Meir. He was Rashi's grandson. He died in 1158. You see how the Rashbam understands this last pasuk, and so many other mefarshim explain it in various ways. I'd like to take a look at the Sifri. The Sifri says, "Va'ani avarchem." I shall bless Bnei Yisrael, says God. Shelo yihiyu Yisrael omrim. Birchoteinu tluyot bakohanim. We don't want any Jew to ever say, my bracha comes from the Kohanim. Talmud lomar va'ani avarchem. I shall bless you, Bnei Yisrael. And also, Shelo yihiyu akohanim omrim, Anu nevarechet Yisrael, Talmud lomar va'ani avarchem, ani avarech et ami Yisrael. The Tanchuma has a very similar idea. Take a look at the underlined words. Bnei Yisrael were upset that they didn't get a chance to get a bracha from Hashem. And Hashem says, you are getting a bracha from me this morning, Baruch Hashem. When I was in shul during Chazaret Hashatz, Kohanim got up there and gave me a bracha. False. They did not give me a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a bracha. Va'ani avarchem. Kohanim are mere, and I use the word mir very generally, are mir shlichim. And that's what the Torah tells us in our parsha. Take a look at the bottom of the page. V'kidashto, you have to sanctify. You must sanctify Bnei Yisrael. Ki et lecha, I mean the Kohanim. Ki et lechem elokecha hu makriv kadosh yihyelach. Why? What makes a Kohen special? Because he's a Talmud Chacham? Not necessarily. Because he's dressed properly? Not necessarily. Because he does the right things? Not necessarily. Ki kadosh ani Hashem mekadishchem. Kohanim get their kedusha and get their koach of giving a bracha from God. And a central message regarding Kohanim and the brachot of Kohanim that we heard in Parshat Naso, a central message is that their bracha, and I have to add, indeed, every bracha that one ever gets. A lot of you got some brachot yesterday in the holy city of Tzfat. Beautiful. Every single bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And people who give them are mir shlichim. The avoda in the mikdash is through Hashem, for Hashem, from Hashem. It is not the Kohanim. And therefore the Kohanim must do everything that they can to be, and I have to use this word carefully, the Kohanim, therefore, in order to make sure that no one misunderstands, the Kohanim must do everything to make sure that they are invisible. They are invisible. Imagine you're standing next to the general of the army and all the soldiers are passing by and they're all wearing the same uniform and they're all holding the same guns and they all have the same boots and one guy walks by in a pink uniform and a broom coming off his shoulder. Where are your eyes going to go? To him. To that person. It's great to be independent. It's great to express your independence. Except when you're a Kohen. Except when you're a Kohen doing the Avoda. Because we don't want to say, I go home this afternoon and my wife asks me, "Nu, did you bring the Korban Todah?" And I say, "I sure did. Yossi Kohn gave me kapara," or he expressed my thanks. It wasn't Yossi Kohn. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Kohen, did it. Not Yossi Kohn. Or that was a generic name for David Cohen. Is that really? Okay. Or David Cohen or whatever it is. Perhaps that's why the Rambam does not have, in question number 5, perhaps that's exactly what the Rambam wants to do, why he doesn't have a separate set of laws called Hilchot Kohanim. He has to remember, you know why? What's the language that the Rambam uses? Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'Ovdim Bo. You know what that halacha, all the halachot are about? Kalim in the Mikdash. Some Kalim have handles and are made of gold. Some Kalim have ramps leading up to them. And some Kalim have two legs and two arms. I thought that's a person. No. That's a kli. That is a kli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that person as a kli. And perhaps that's why Kohanim can't have any outstanding characteristics in our first question. They can't have a mum. They have kavod. Mumim, bali mumin, get to eat. If this week's parsha, get to eat exactly like regular Kohanim. And they work in the Beit HaMikdash. And you know what their job was in the Mikdash? They were given jobs. They had a few jobs. For example, they had to check the wood to make sure no worms were in them. Yeah, nice. That the worms were not in them. It's beautiful. But not avoda. The avoda of shechting the korban, that's a bad example because even Israel can, collecting the blood, bringing the blood to the mizbeach, and sprinkling the blood, those last three avodot, kohen. A kohen who is a kli. And perhaps that's why the Torah is insistent that the begadim be new and they fit properly. If I saw a soldier passing by with long sleeves coming down his fingernails and his pants going down past his toes, I'd say, what's going on here? I would look at that guy as opposed to saying they're invisible. They're a kli. That's why a kohen cannot also buy his clothing or wear his begadim when he's not doing the avoda because they are not his. He's a kli. He is owned, I'll say in quotes, by Klal Yisrael. And his independence is beautiful, except when he's doing the avoda. I want the kohen to be a teacher. Beautiful. He'll be a teacher. And he has to express his independence. Beautiful. His personality has to come out. Beautiful. He'll wear what he wants to wear. Amazing. But not when he's doing the avoda. When he's doing the avoda, he's not wearing his own clothing. He has to be invisible. And perhaps that's exactly, and there's so much more to say, and I didn't get to the other side, but I will in a moment, that's perhaps exactly the message. If kahuna was based on merit, then 100% true, Rabbi Soloveitchik would get the first aliyah, the Chazon Ish would get the first aliyah, Rekiva Eger would get the first aliyah, Yosef Kara would get the first aliyah, no question, because a 13-year-old Kohen, how can he get an aliyah before Yosef Kara? But that's exactly the point. When Yosef Kara is sitting in his seat and a 13-year-old boy walks up, nobody in the world is going to say, whoa, a Talmud Chacham, he can outlearn the Rabbi Yosef Karo. No way. Who's walking up to the Bima? A Kohen. Not little David Kohen, a Kohen. It's exactly, I'm stressing that point. It's exactly expressing that point. It's exactly not based on merit. It's exactly not based on what this 13-year-old has done. If so, we'd kick him off. Nothing personal to all our 13-year-old friends. But we would put on Rabbi Kiva Eger, would get the first aliyah. No, the whole point, it drives it home. And I have to tell you, I see it regularly. In my shul, you may see it in your shul on a regular basis. Gedolim walking in, great people walking in, Balei Simcha walking in. It's a bar mitzvah, it's an ofruf, whatever it is. Sorry, you're going to get the third aliyah, the fourth aliyah, but the first aliyah goes to a nobody. Please forgive me for saying that. But I use that expression on purpose. He's a nobody. He's a Kohen. He's a Kli. Take a look at the other side really fast. This is Rav Hirsch on Parshat Naso. I won't read the whole thing, but it is explosive. The priests do not bless Israel. Their words have no power of conferring blessing. Their mission is only Lasum Shmi al Bnei Israel. The blessing itself, says God, I look after. Va'ani avarchem. Skip down to line 13. For this proclamation of God's name over Israel, for that, the priest is to be the instrument. To be the instrument for a nation that is to be blessed. Then God will bless them. It's a powerful message for the avoda that you and I are going to see very soon in Mirtz Hashem. It's a powerful way to understand the psukim throughout Parshat Truma, Tetzaveh. It's in Naso. It's also in this week's Parsha. Powerful way to understand kahuna in general. But I'll also say it is a powerful way to understand all the brachot in Mirtz Hashem that you and I will receive in our lifetime. It's amazing to receive brachot from regular people and from gedolim. How can that be? How can the Gemara tell us that a birkat hedyot should not be kala be'inecha. Wait a second. I thought I'm supposed to go to a. I thought I'm supposed to go to a gadol. I'll tell you a fast story. I'm not very good with blood. That's just my personality. But I was asked last year to be a sandik at a bris. Those two things do not go together. Not liking blood and being a sandik. But I decide. But of course, I said yes, and I was able to hold this beautiful baby boy, and I was a sandik for this beautiful boy. And afterwards, there was a Sephardic family there. But it's not just Sephardim. People came over to me to get a bracha. It's a long story because a sandik has a certain connection to make a bracha. Every single person that came before me, I have a few stories here, but one of them, everyone I said, I'm only doing this begeder a hedyot. I'm no gadol. I'm just a regular hedyot. Alti birkat hedyot kala be'inecha. Why? Why should a birkat hedyot not be kala be'inecha? It's only a hedyot. The answer is because it's not you. And the minute you think it's you, if you want to go get a bracha from somebody who thinks they're giving you a bracha, my personal advice is to run the other way. You're not getting a bracha from him or from her. You can get a bracha as a kli, as an instrument, through from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that, even 13 and a half year old David Cohen can do. May we be zoche im yirtzeh Hashem, to expose ourselves to people who give brachot, to be the recipients of all the blessings in the world, not from people, God forbid, but from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Have a great evening, everybody.